Our second reading is John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. John 15, verses 9 to 17. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you spoke and you speak. In this day of remembrance, help us to remember the Lord Jesus and his self-sacrifice that is the model for our love for one another, and so transform us that we might be just as he is, for Jesus' sake and for your glory. Amen. I would have been perhaps 18 years old. I remember being in the pub in the centre of the town where I grew up. I don't remember his name, though. I've been trying this week to recall, but it's been 24 years and I just don't remember. We played football together all through school at the weekends, and at 16 he'd left football. I'd not seen him anymore. It turns out he'd joined the army. And here we were a couple of years later, and he was home on leave from a tour of Kosovo. His squad had come under attack. Only two of them had made it out alive. I was 18. I was about to go off to university. I was looking forward to the rest of my life. I wasn't thinking about any sort of particular cares. And here was a guy, 18 as well, who looked like he'd lived 100 lives. He looked hollowed out. The closest thing I'll ever see to a zombie, I think. And I mean no disrespect in that. In the years since, we've got much better at recognising PTSD. But this was, for me, the moment the cost of war came home. All those people who came home from the First and Second World War and lived with the trauma of what they'd seen, and we didn't have a name for that. And Tolkien, of course, got to write about Mordor, but most people, lacking that creative outlet, had to quietly live with things they'd seen and done that others would never understand. Of course, everyone sacrificed in the war. People lost their jobs, their dreams, their loved ones. They lived on rations and served in whatever way was necessary for the war effort, and rightly so. As I was looking for illustrations of the way people sacrificed in the world wars, it was very hard to find on the internet, because there have been so many newspaper and magazine articles comparing our response to COVID and the sacrifices we've made to the pandemic with the world wars. There are parallels there, of course, aren't there? For some, COVID has been very costly in all sorts of ways. And certainly our COVID response has been an expensive one, like a war. But only at this distance from the world wars, with fewer and fewer able to remember it, could we possibly make that comparison. When we gather today, we do so conscious of those who made the ultimate sacrifice. The names on the memorial outside, on every cenotaph in the country, are those who didn't come home. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. There are, says Jesus, lesser loves and greater loves, and the greatest love of all is the one that sacrifices everything for another. I think that's why Remembrance Day is such a powerful event in the calendar for us, because we have a sense that people we never knew gave everything they had to preserve our freedoms that we enjoy today. We appreciate it, I think. We value our own lives, and so we understand to some extent what it costs. And so we're grateful. But this verse does more than call us to remember. It also asks us whether we're prepared ourselves to make the same sacrifice in the same way or a similar way. When we remember the names of the fallen later on, will we learn the lesson and be prepared to do as they did? I spent some time this week looking at the names of the people who won the Victoria Cross, the VC, the highest honour for bravery that we have during the Second World War. There are Wikipedia pages on every single recipient, extraordinary stories of bravery. About half died in the war, often in the action that brought them their Victoria Cross, dying to save their friends, dying to prevent a tragedy. And those who survived were prepared to die for their friends. Of course, the question I've been asking myself is, would I do the same? For that is the call of the passage before us this morning, that our remembering the sacrifice of others should lead us to imitating that sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, says Jesus. Of course, he's speaking in the first instance to his apostles, but indirectly he's speaking to everybody who would follow him as his people all through history. And so if we're here and we belong to Jesus this morning, then he's speaking to us. And this passage seeks to remind us of one thing. You are deeply loved. How are we loved? Well, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. What is the love of the Father has for the Son? And there are very big words we need to use to describe it. It's eternal. It's infinite. It's perfect love. A love which acts at every stage to do the supreme good for the other. Jesus doesn't state it here, but it's all through John's Gospel that he loves the Father in the same way. This is the love, the eternal, powerful love that binds together Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from before even the creation of the universe. And it's a love that reaches out to us. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. In fact, loving us is what the Father commands Jesus to do. When Jesus says, I have kept my Father's command and remained in his love, he means the command to love us. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. Both Father and Son love the church, and so the Father sends the Son to love the church in the most dramatic fashion, with the most complete sacrifice. That's what Jesus is getting at. And this is, I think, ultimately why the sacrifice of our soldiers strikes such a chord with us. Their sacrifice, giving of themselves for others, gets as close to the harmonics of the universe as anything can do. For at the very heart of the universe, at the centre of the whole story of human history, from beginning to the parts yet unwritten, at the centre is this one great humming note, the supreme act of self-sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus is about to lay down his life for his friends. He's not been drafted into war, but chosen to come, made the plan to come with his Father. He isn't being cut down unwillingly by enemy fire. He's about to turn all the weapons of the enemy on himself in order to spare his friends. It is the supreme act of self-sacrifice because it was entirely avoidable. If Jesus didn't love us, he could have stayed in glory with his Father, and every one of us would simply be damned for all eternity. So Jesus stepped into the firing line and drew the wrath of God at our sin on himself, dying on the cross so that he could call us friends. Jesus loved his Father. He loved us and he gave himself so that we could be brought into the loving relationship ourselves. This is a central theme in the Gospel of John. It's the central sacrifice that makes sense of the whole world. But there's a little more here. In verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." How do you know whether you've been chosen by God? How do you know whether you're Jesus' friend, covered by his love and self-sacrifice and brought back to God? You should be asking that question. In verse 7, Jesus also talks about remaining in him, of keeping going. He says, "Remain in me, and my words remain in you." When in verse 15 Jesus says of God's plans, "I've made them known to you," he's talking about everything he's taught them. And the command is, let my words remain in you. Keep listening to them, keep following them. If we listen to Jesus' words, we will bear good fruit, says verse 8. And so, verse 16, "I chose you to bear much fruit. Remain in me, remain in my love, bear fruit." Jesus dies in our place to bring us into his people. He covers us with his love. And our job is to remain in his love by having his words remain in us. I hope you can see that we must remember the sacrifice of Jesus. But remembering isn't enough. We're called to imitate that sacrifice. We're called to love the church in the same way Jesus loves us. So you are deeply loved, so love deeply. Let me show you verse 9 again. And please notice, all through this passage, Jesus uses the word "as" or "just as." Really, really important for showing us the connection between one thing and another. "As the Father has loved me," the model, "so I have loved you in the same way." He's making an extraordinary point here. Not only that he loves us with the same sort of love, but in the same way. And what I mean is this. The Father loves the Son. And because the Son loves the Father, he obeys him, and so he loves the church. In the same way, the Son loves us, and we are to respond to his love by loving him. Do you love Jesus? Well, how can you tell whether you love Jesus? It's an important question, isn't it? Well, verse 10 says, "Obey him." Again, the just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love, just as. Jesus is covered in the love of the Father because he perfectly obeys the Father. In the same way, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. The parallel is exact. Of course, we'll not perfectly love Jesus, and we absolutely mustn't pretend that we can. But given that verse 18 onwards is about how the world will hate Jesus' church as it hated him, we need to see there really are only two options here. Love Jesus or hate Jesus. And for clarity, indifference about Jesus, treating him as if he doesn't matter, is a form of hate. Just try that with your spouse. You'll find out very quickly they feel hated. So how do you know if you love Jesus? Well, do you obey him? And what should we obey? Well, verse 12. My command is this: love each other. If you're curious what this means in its fuller sense, please do listen back to what Richard said to us a few weeks ago. The sermon's on the website. But please notice that Jesus makes that link once again between his love and our love for the church. My command is this, he says, love each other as I have loved you. As I love you by dying on the cross, an infinitely precious act of self-sacrifice. Do that for each other. If we do that, we'll just look back at verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You can know that you're truly one of Jesus' people, covered by his love and self-sacrifice, by the fruit that you bear. Jesus gives us this command out of love so that we can have assurance. That is confidence that we are being transformed by Jesus in preparation for eternity. Now, some of you will think that you bear little fruit and that will concern you. If that's you, can I make two suggestions? First, get stuck into the Bible as the Word of God. If you're new to church and want to start doing that, come and see me. I'll give you a Bible and give you some reading to do that will help you to get into Jesus' words. Follow them, believe them, let them dwell in your heart and produce fruit with us. Secondly, get stuck into loving the church. Don't wait for other people to love you. Find ways to love the church family and just do it. Bear the fruit that Jesus intends you to produce. Now, I need to give a little warning here. Jesus says that we should show ourselves to be his disciples if we love one another. But I remember a friend saying to me early in my Christian life that she'd been in church her whole life. She knew all the right things to say and do. She could pass for a Christian, produce loving fruit without actually loving Jesus. So please, don't try to fit in here. That isn't what we're about. We're about helping people to get to be with Jesus for all eternity. And you might ask what relevance this has to Remembrance Sunday. And it's this, surely. The memorial in the churchyard, the cenotaph, has on top of it a cross for a reason. Because the only hope for those men who died in the wars is that they trusted Christ and are enjoying him eternally. And what was true for them is what's true for us, and that's what we care about here. So the only way to truly fit in is to be loved by Jesus, and for our acts of loving service to the church to be the overflow of a life lived for Jesus. If you want to check your heart, whether you are just trying to fit in or if you really love Jesus, well, have a look at verse 11. Jesus says that if we are abiding in him, if our love is the overflow of his love to us, then living this way produces joy in us. So let me ask, are you joyful as you love others? Being loved by Jesus and then living for Jesus produces the fruit of abiding joy. If you lack joy, perhaps you're striving to produce the fruit without the roots. Perhaps you're not trying to produce the fruit at all. There will be some of us here today, after all, for remembrance, who are not yet Christians. I invite you in the name of Jesus to come into his love. He would call you friends, bring you into the love of the Father, but you cannot passively receive the love of Jesus. You must respond too. As a benefit, our motto is that we are loved by Jesus and living for Jesus. And this passage makes clear why that has to be the case. Let Jesus love you. Come into our community and learn to be loved by us too. Today is a day of remembering. Remembering the death of others on our behalf. But it's a day which also asks us whether we're prepared to sacrifice ourselves, our ambitions, our independence, our selfishness for other people. The death of Christ calls us into relationship with God, to die to self and to live for him. In that place of self-sacrifice, we will find joy that nobody else in the world can find. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his sacrifice for us that brings us into your love and at your eternal pleasure. Father, we pray that we would respond to his love for us by loving him and loving you, and so loving each other. Would our Christian community be one full of love and self-sacrifice? And I pray that those who are amongst us this morning who don't yet know you would so see the love of Christ amongst us that they would desire to have that for themselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.